how it goes from the finals to the draft to free agency to Vegas. Like, I love that.
Right.
But they've got to change the way that the rules are so that guys don't have to be in wrong caps.
Yep.
And you can just say, instead of trading draft rights, this guy's not playing here. You could do it like the NFL. There's nothing better in the NFL draft than when someone comes up and is like, there's been a trade.
Yep.
Such and such is now on the clock.
Or like you give a guy a generic NBA hat or whatever other hat you're trying to sell that doesn't misbrand him as being on a team he's not on. It's just, it's bad business. It's bad marketing and bad business from a league that has generally been good at it. That is an anachronism at this point to say, oh, yeah, you've been drafted by the Hawks, so everybody knows he's not on the Hawks.
Right.
Give him a generic NBA hat.
It's also confusing, like, in the wrap-up of what happened in the draft where it's like, oh yeah, this guy went here, but he's going over here. It's really difficult to kind of piece all of it together.
Yeah, the only problem is that if a player is involved, you could do that with pick for pick swaps, but for like actual players being involved, those can't be official until the league year starts.
Get that. What I'm saying is that I think they might need to change the way that their calendar works, and they might need to change the way that it works when you're announcing the player for player trade.
Isn't the NBA the league that's looking into a jersey with digital numbers on the back of it? All right, so that's what you got to do. You got to come up with a hat that just, you know, with the punch of a button changes over from Lakers to Pelicans or Pelo, whatever. That's the next frontier.
Well, who was the kid from Baylor? Isaiah
Austin.
Isaiah Austin, who couldn't play, had the one eye and the bad heart.
I think he's trying
to play overseas now. When he got drafted, quote unquote, they gave him like an NBA cap because it was like the league drafts Isaiah, like, you know what I mean?
Right,
so you could do the same sort of thing in situations like that. But the idea of guys sitting there with the wrong cap just looks bad.
Who drafted Scottie Pippen in 1987?
Seattle.
Right.
Yeah.
And people don't remember that. The Bulls didn't pick Scottie Pippen. They picked Olden Polonese.
That's right.
Because there was a deal in place. And we still remember, oh, that was the year Jerry Krause. Technically, Jerry Krause didn't draft him. He traded for him because of these same things. I mean, that's what we went through. I remember it vividly, this whole deal with the hat and the whole thing. Oh, wait a second. Hold on. We didn't have Twitter to tell us it was coming.
I actually thought that for a group of guys in a draft class, I thought this was a particularly mature,
nice
group of young men.
Just a bunch of nice young men.
Nice kids. You know, like, and you look at them, you're like, wow, like these are 18, 19, and Dan and I in particular, like, we're a little farther along, and you kind of go, wow, those are some nice kids over there. The Zion, like, being in on the top of that class, like, all of them seem to get it.
They're 5 years older than my kid.
Someone needs
they're 2 years older than my daughter.
Someone just needs to explain to me how Tyler Harrow comes from Greenfield, Wisconsin, spends all of 9 months in Kentucky, and has a full-fledged Southern accent. I don't understand.
You ever been to Lexington?
I don't get. Yeah, I have. No one like attacked me and was like, "You have a Southern accent now." That didn't happen.
Isn't there a term for people who are susceptible to that kind of environmental accent pressure?
The guy still says "bought" like he's from Wisconsin, but everything else is Southern. I don't get it.
If he pronounces the word "bag," still as "bag,"
bag,
right?
Yep.
Put your hate in a bag.
But even there's a Western Wisconsin and an Eastern Wisconsin differentiation between your bags and your bags.
That is true.
You guys are okay with the donuts?
Fantastic. More than okay.
Well done. Thank
that,
you,
that,
sir.
That is a transcendent bite there. Whoever said, hey, let's do an apple fritter, but instead of apple, we're going to make it rhubarb, that person deserves a laurel and hearty handshake.
All right, that's enough of you. Thanks to Bernstein and McKnight for their hard work. I'll see you guys on Monday. We are Sports Radio 670, The Score, WSER and HD Chicago, WBMX and HD2 Chicago, a radio.com sports station, and the top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz in the Big Ten West Division and Holiday Bowl champions at Ryan Field this fall when they host Ohio State, Iowa, and more. Season tickets are on sale now at NUSports.com. Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Brent Brown going back. Brent Brown
So that was Ron Santo on the call. It is a legendary call. We played this call over and over again at the score since it happened in 1998. You want to hear the oral history of that call?
But I was, of course, working with the late Ron Santo and his broadcast call bellowing out, "Oh, no!" And then I saw what maybe has never happened in the history of American sports. I had to look away because here was a manager trying to cheer up a broadcaster.
It was so great, like, listening to that last night on the drive home. I'm in tears, like, laughing at that story.
Make me a bicycle clown!
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until Cubs baseball. The Cubs will take on the Mets. Pregame will start at 12:45. Don't worry, though. We got you covered up until then. This hour is being brought to you by CarX Tire and Auto. We are going to talk about the draft coming up in a little bit. Tony's here. Campy's here. I'm here. And we're going to talk with David Schuster in a couple of minutes. But we start the show, as we start all things, with the rundown.
Run them down.
The Rundown.
It's a short rundown today because, you know, there wasn't a ton that was going on, but there is stuff to discuss, including the NBA draft for your Chicago Bulls.
With the 7th pick in the 2019 NBA draft, the Chicago Bulls select Coby White from the University of North Carolina.
Young Tony Gill was there at the press conference in already just giving grief to Coby White, saying, "Hey, can you beat out Chris Dunn for the starting point guard job?"
I've been competing all my life here and within the team. When I got to Carolina, I had to compete for a starting spot. I had to compete for the point guard spot. So competing, you know, it's in my blood, it's in my DNA. We're going to go at it for sure. Chris Dunn's a great, great player. But, you know, I just can't wait to get there and, you know, get to work.
Here's what John Paxson said about what the plan is for competition at point guard.
John, competition, particularly in practice, can be often a good thing. How do you think Chris Dunn will handle this night? And do you still see a role for him on this team? You didn't mention him when you just ran down the people you've acquired.
Well, I've mentioned many times since the season ended that we've not given up on Chris. He's a good basketball player. And I should have mentioned him earlier, so I apologize. My, you know, long day, brain's fried. But we still value Chris very much. But competition is a part of this business, and, you know, that you have to have that. I think the goal for us is to be deeper, more talented. You know, you see in our game today, the successful teams, they have a roster that's, you know, you can, you know, it's got versatility and those type of things. So we respect Chris Dunn. We want him to come in and work, but nothing can be given to you in this game. And hey, if he comes in, as we hope, in training camp and is in great shape and ready to roll, he has every chance to earn any job, any spot he wants, just like any of our guys do.
Okay, so it's on at the point guard position. The Bulls, I think, got a need, and I also think they got a talented player in Coby White. They picked up Daniel Gafford, big long center, 6'10", out of Arkansas in the second round. Now to the Cubs, who had the Mets over on the north side, and things were not great early on.
He drives one in the air. This is a home run. Deep to left, long gone.
Number 25 for Alonzo.
A smash to the seats and left by Alonzo. And the Mets now lead 3-0. That left the park in a hurry.
And then in the bottom of the third inning, the Cubs were like, "Y'all are the Mets and we're the Cubs."
Pitch to Anthony. Swinging a line drive down the right field line. Fair. One run is in. Bryant racing toward third. He's going to get the green light. He's heading home. The relay to the plate. Bryant slides. He scores. It's a double for Rizzo. Cubs lead 4-3.
I know that we talk a lot about some of the magical things that Javier Baez does on a baseball diamond, and some people, it annoys them that we talk about how good Javi is. And he gave us one of those Javi moments yesterday with another matrix slide at third base. And then he whack-a-towed a home run to left off of a low and outside pitch. This guy's play coverage is unreal.
As Baez hits a drive into deep left center field.
back toward the wall. It's got a chance. Gone. Javier Baez. Cubs lead 7-3.
On top of that, if you were listening to this show yesterday, you got a real good preview of the type of stuff that Adbert Alzolay has in his arsenal. He went out there and dominated for a couple of innings, and it was fun to watch.
He's into his motion on the pitch. Strike three called. Frazier caught looking.
And there's that breaking ball we were talking about. It starts out inside, a little front door breaking ball to Frazier, and he wasn't ready for it. Bang, it hits the corner. And he
Here's
knew
a swing and a miss, strike three. Alzolay with a good 95-mile-an-hour fastball. Pretty impressive stuff
here. He's
got
a chance now to strike out the side.
He's 0-2 on Rosario, the windup and the pitch. Swing and a miss, strike three. Adbert Alzolay has arrived.
He was terrific yesterday, and he said was totally ready for it.
I was feeling normal the whole time, you know, just when I started like jogging to the mound, and then when I look at the hitter, the first hitter, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, like everything is coming true right now, you know, the dream that I always dream as a kid is just coming true, you know. So I was like, okay, just do your thing. But as soon as I got the first out, like everything just went down, everything was relaxed, and I was like, you know what, I just pitch now.
That's a nice way to make your major league debut. Joe Maddon, not surprised at all.
You saw the composure. I mean, that's what we've been talking about. Had he thrown, had he gotten Frazier out, I think he would have finished that game. I really do. I think that just threw him off just a bit, because right after that he loses the plate, which he had not. He was not missing. After that first walk, he was dialed in pretty good. I think it was obviously a very emotional day for him, too, and sometimes you have to include emotional expenditures also beyond the physical. So I think all that stuff culminated in the ninth inning, and once Frazier hit the home run, we needed to get Sheck up very quickly.
Cubs win. They take on the Mets again today at 1:20. We will have the pregame starting at 12:45. Last thing in the rundown today, the Washington Nationals say that they're going to join the White Sox in putting netting all the way around the ballpark. So we're going to see how many other teams are going to join in that battle. That is your rundown for Friday, June 21st, the summer solstice. Is tonight, I think at 10:50 p.m. or something like that. There's a lot of news coming out of the Bulls because they have two new draft picks. So I wanted to pick the brain of our own David Schuster. He joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. Hey, Shu.
Hey, Lawrence. I thought it was a pretty good night for the Bulls overall. I think the expectations once the draft lottery had them fall down to number 7. I mean, you knew you weren't going to get either of the two players that everybody wanted in Zion Williamson or John Morant, but I think they picked up a player in Coby White who I'm going to label a project, because I think anybody after the second pick is a project, no matter how talented they may be. But he's got a lot of potential. He's got great size. He's lightning quick, super quick, which is going to force Jim Boylan to change his philosophy offensively whenever Coby White is on the court. I mean, you don't take Secretariat and turn him into a plow horse. So Coby White is going to move that basketball up and down the court. That's a good thing. And then in the second round, they got Daniel Gafford, who's going to fill a role as well. Robin Lopez is gone. He's not going to come back to the Bulls. So there's going to be playing time for Gafford, and there's certainly going to be playing time for Coby White. It will be interesting going forward to see what happens with Chris Dunn. Is he part of this? I heard the same things you heard from John Paxson. As of right now, it looks like Chris Dunn will still be on the roster. In the long run, I'm not so sure about that. And then it'll be really interesting to see what happens in free agency. John Paxson didn't want to talk about that last night, but obviously he's already looking ahead. Does he want to go out and spend a lot of money on somebody like Malcolm Brogdon? I don't think so. Or is he going to settle maybe for a veteran point guard, somebody along the lines of Ricky Rubio or Corey Joseph or Ish Smith? So I think overall the Bulls did fairly well for themselves last night.
What did the Bulls say about why they liked Coby White?
Well, a combination of things. Again, great size. He can put the ball in the basket, which your point guards now in basketball, the better point guards, can score and score a lot. again, his playmaking ability is where I use the word project, because if all you have to do is just take a look at his stats. I mean, he averaged 16 points last year, but only 4 assists, and there were some talented other players on that North Carolina roster. He shot 43% from the field overall, 34% from behind the arc. The arc obviously closer in college than it is in the NBA. They just like his size. They like his makeup. They like his competitiveness, and you heard that also in one of the actualities you just played, Lawrence. The kid is very competitive. He's not going to take a back seat. You know, it's ironic that he and Chris Dunn share the same agency. Mm-hmm. He said to us last night that, yeah, I'll get along with Chris Dunn, but once we're on the court, it's tooth and nail. So they like a lot of things about this guy. And again, his ceiling is pretty high. So we'll just have to wait and see how he performs.
David, I'm curious what you of covering Chris Dunn for a couple seasons now. Two questions here. Can he handle a backup role? And is he a better choice for backup point guard than the free agents that are out there?
I'm going to answer your second question first. It depends what free agent you're talking about. Ricky Rubio is more of a true point guard, meaning that he will defer to other players and make them better. He's got great court awareness. Is he a better backup potential on the Bulls than, let's say, an Ish Smith or a Corey Joseph? I'm going to say yes to that because he's younger, and I think his potential. Listen, you know, he could actually lead a very good second unit on the Bulls, and then they can save some money in free agency, obviously, going forward, and use that in other areas to fortify their roster. So in answer to your original question, yes, depending on which free agents you're talking about, I actually think he could be a better choice. Can he handle that? That's the real question. Now, he told us, you know, on his exit interview with the media before the season, they left for the offseason, that he's got a lot of dog in him. And by that, he means he's very competitive. He's also going to fight tooth and nail. So really, if they're both on the roster at the same time, let the best man win. But I think the Bulls drafted Coby White in mind for him to be their point guard. It might not be right off the bat, but I don't think too far down the road he will be the Bulls' starting point guard.
Our Bulls beat reporter David Schuster joining me here on The Score. The Bulls drafting Coby White in the first round, Daniel Gafford in the second. What else do you think the Bulls need? If you're looking at the 30,000 feet view of the Bulls, what else do they need?
Well, I mean, they did draft two players of need. They needed a point guard, no question about it, whether it's Chris. I mean, Chris Dunn was okay, but not good enough in John Paxson's eyes, so that's why they drafted Coby White. Robin Lopez is going to be gone. Obviously, Wendell Carter Jr. is anointed your starter, but he's pretty young, so they needed somebody else at least to, you know, build up the minutes in a backup position. Cristiano Felicio has had his chances and really has not run with it, so Daniel Gafford will get a lot of minutes. I'm sure they'll be looking for a veteran big man who can play the five, who also can play the four. A guy who comes to mind real quickly in today's NBA is a guy who used to be a Bull, who John Paxson loves dearly, and that's Taj Gibson, who's a free agent. Now, Taj Gibson will have a decision. Does he want to come back to an organization if indeed the Bulls offer him something? Does he want to come back to an organization he's well familiar with? He loves Chicago, and he also would get some playing time and would be the mentor for a lot of these players. But he also would know that if he signed a 2-year deal, he's not going to win a ring here in Chicago over those next 2 years. So, you know, a guy like Taj Gibson or other people of that ilk will have to decide, do they want the money? Do they want to play in a big city like Chicago? It's really interesting with Taj Gibson. He did not like playing in Minnesota off the court last season. Remember where Taj Gibson comes from. He grew up in New York. He played in Los Angeles in his college days, and most of his NBA career has been here in Chicago. So he's big market across the board, and when he went to Minnesota last year, I don't think he was too happy with that kind of environment. So a guy of that ilk, somebody who can, you know, definitely be veteran mentorship, of which John Paxson is really big on and is going to be looking for that, not foremost, but certainly he'll be looking at that a lot when he looks for certain free agents, a guy of that kind of ilk and other people like that.
Shu, how do you think the way the finals ended and possible free agency will impact the Bulls, if at all?
Well, I think the fact that, you know, when Kevin Durant went down with his injury, that really threw a curve into the entire NBA. I don't know what he's going to do. I mean, he's likely not playing anywhere next year. Does he take the 31 point whatever million it is and just, rehabilitates out in Golden State? Do the New York Knicks still want to offer him that ridiculous amount of money, knowing that he will not play the first year of that contract?